Like to talk to us about growth. And in Mark, the 16th chapter, we have the, you might say, Great Commission that Jesus gave at the very end of his time on earth. This was after he had been resurrected from the grave and before he ascended. In Mark 16 and 15, it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's the Great Commission. That's what we should be engaged in, is reaching out to the world around us with the message of the gospel to every creature, not to just one race or one gender or one nation, but to every man, woman, and child in this world, is to reach out to them. Now, thinking about the gospel and what it includes, the gospel is something that has to have a beginning point. And when we plant a seed, last year we did not plant a garden at the house, but this year we have. We've got some sweet corn planted and some potatoes planted, some beets, some of those things that you can plant early in the year. We have some of those seeds in the ground. And some of those seeds have already started to sprout and to grow a little bit. And this morning, Drew had observed the same thing I'd realized yesterday. Our corn has not come up yet. It's hopefully it has germinated and it's going to be poking up just any day now. But I haven't seen any sweet corn poking through the ground yet. But for the gospel to really grow and prosper, it has to be planted. And that's why Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's our objective as a, not just, he was talking to his disciples and close followers at that time, but it's not just for them, it's for us today. So we as a people, as a congregation, should do that. We have a responsibility to share the gospel message. And just as we might plant sweet corn at this time of the year, you don't plant maybe your green beans or your squash or some of the other things that the soil temperature has to be considerably warmer for them to really germinate and grow. If you plant okra at this time of year, that seed will just lay there and be dormant. And if it doesn't deteriorate between now and about 30 days from now, it might sprout in about 30 days. But it's not going to do anything right now. The soil temperature is too cool. But as the soil temperature increases and starts to be warmer during the night and all, you can plant some of those other seeds and they'll germinate and grow as well. And as the plants grow, now they not only just come through the ground, some of the things when you plant, you put out some onion bulbs. And as soon as that starts shooting up and it gets up there long enough, you want some fresh green onions, you cut it off. We don't wait for onions to go to seed to be able to use it. The corn, we want the stalks to grow. We want the ears to come on. We want the kernels to develop. And I like to pick the corn just before the dent stage. The dent is when the end of the kernel starts to crinkle in a little bit and the moisture content starts to go down, and that's a little too late. I want to pick it right at the peak of the roasting ear stage. That's when sweet corn is most delicious. I don't want to wait till it's starting to dry down in the kernels and they're starting to get crunchy. I want to pick it where you can eat it raw if you want to, and it's good then too. But it's even better cooked. I don't want to pick, I don't pick the tomatoes while they're green. Now, some of you might like fried green tomatoes, but why would I mess up one that I want to be fully ripe? I like ripe tomatoes. So everything has to grow to a different state of maturity before we begin to utilize it. So I want us to think about growth today. Not just planting the gospel, but the growth that needs to come. If you just plant a bunch of seeds and you don't go back and cultivate those seeds and cultivate the plants that come off, there are fruit that you'll never really see the benefit of. Okay? So let's turn to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and notice beginning in the first verse, Hebrews chapter 6. And I believe I want to start with verse 1. He says here, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." Now, what's the principle of the doctrine of Christ? Jesus loves you. This I know. That's the principle. That's where it starts. Just like the little song that we heard a while ago. Jesus loves every one of you. And we can be confident of that. We can come to the grips and the knowledge of knowing that Jesus loves me. And because He loves me, I want to love Him back. I want that seed of the gospel to fall in fertile ground and begin to grow. It begins to swell up. And I don't really know what goes on in there, but I know that little hull of a seed begins to get soft and it starts to swell. And all of a sudden there's this little thing that goes bloop and it pops out of it. And I don't know how a seed knows which way is up. Have you ever thought about that? But you never dig up a seed with the green thing pointing down and the root pointing up. You just don't see that. If you dig a little corn kernel up that has swollen and the little root has come out, it's always pointing down and the little green shoot is starting to come up. So the seed of the gospel is Jesus loves you. And you can be confident in that, and you can, your heart wants to swell up, and there's something in us that wants to just kind of start busting open, and I love Him because He loved me. That's just part of, that's the basics of the gospel. It says here, "Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection." You know, you can go to some salad bars and get, what is that? What do they have? Bean sprouts or alfalfa sprouts or something like that on the salad bar. They let the seed just germinate enough to where it starts swelling up and popping out. And I've had them on my salad. I think they're pretty tasty, but you know, I like sweet peas. I like those things that where they've been allowed to grow. And not just pick them when they're just sprouting, but let them grow to the point that they start producing more pot. Pick them before they get hard and crunchy too, you see. He says, "Let us leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God." That is the principle. That's the initiating part of knowing that we can be a Christian, is repenting of our sins, asking Him to forgive us, and then seeing the sprout of love coming out of our, and the little shoot coming up. But let's go on more than that. Let's let the thing grow. Let's pull the weeds out and let's give it some nutrients and some moisture and some sunshine and allow that thing to grow and begin to develop. And he says, of the doctrine of baptism. What is the doctrine of baptism? One of them is a big testimony to the world that I have forsaken the old life. And I am living as a Christian now. The other one is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, of consecration. I'm committing my life, my future, whatever it holds, to the Lord. You don't do that when you're a sprout. You don't expect the very little blade of corn that comes up through the ground. You don't expect the ear to come out right there at ground level. Usually the ear of corn is somewhere around waist high on the corn stalk. And I like to see corn that's at least as tall as I am or a little bit taller. And you expect the ears just, they're easy reaching that height as you go through the, unless you've had a drought or something. But anyway, we're talking about healthy things here. He says of the doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands. What's that talking about? It's talking about being in a place to pray the prayer of faith. It's talking about some growth. It's talking about some maturity. He says of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. If time allows us, then we should be growing. That's what ought to happen. We shouldn't be hung in the sprout stage. Did you know that there's things that can happen to little seeds that cause them to just stay in the sprout stage? Now, if you have a field of sweet corn and it just barely comes up through the ground, maybe it's an inch tall or so, and all of a sudden the weather turns cool and maybe it dips down to 36 at night and it only gets up to 41 during the day and 36 the next night and 42 the next. You know that it'll just stay there for a long period. Pretty soon, if you don't start getting some warm weather, that stuff is going to start looking sick. If you get a lot of rain and it's just wet and just soggy around there, that little corn won't grow. And it'll go from green to kind of yellow. And if you don't hurry up and get some sunshine on it and get the water drained off of it, it's going to die. And if we don't grow, we're going to die as an individual. Yesterday, we went out there, and we've had some things happen to us since last growing season, and one thing is a fire in the yard, and it got into some of my wife's rose bushes, and we were pretty concerned that maybe they had killed them. And she got out to looking at them. Some of them's got buds up on the stems, and some of them are coming out from the roots. And the ones that's coming out from the roots, all of those, the bush that's been there that was there last year, it's dead. The fire's damaged it. So Rodney and I yesterday spent quite a bit of time cutting out dead limbs out of the rose bushes and cleaning out dead stuff out of the flower bed and pulling some grass. And there was a hibiscus, right? What it was, what that we cut. Anyway, some of it we got to cut back and pull out the dead crunchy branches and all that, and we pulled out a lot of dead stuff. And you know, the stuff that's not growing is dying. If it's not growing, it's dying. So it's imperative that we grow as individuals. He says here, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let's start looking for some maturity. I'd like for us to turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter, I believe. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Now, 2 Peter, first chapter, first verse, Simon introduces himself as who he is, and then he begins to speak to those that he's writing to. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So he's writing to someone else that has already got the seed planted and it's germinating and it's starting to grow. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, for growth to happen, the seeds have to be given something. If you put, and I'll do this sometimes, if I'm going to plant some okra, I can get me a little shallow plant pan or a plate, and I'll put me a paper towel on there, and I'll put just enough water on it to make the paper towel wet, and maybe lay my okra seeds on that, and put another paper towel on top of it, and get it damp. So it's just damp. Set it up in the windowsill, and you know, in about 2 days, those little hard, they're just like little rocks. An okra seed is. In about 2 days, those things have swollen, and there's a little crack in there, and there's something coming out. There's a little root coming out of there. And you can take that okra seed once it's sprouted and take it out and plant it in the garden, and it'll start growing. But you know, if I don't take it outside and plant it, all I'm going to get is a little sprout. Because that paper towel and water and sunshine is not all that plant needs. There's some other things that little okra seedling needs. So he says here, according as divine power had given us what? All things that pertain unto life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We are to be able to grow, we have to partake of his divine nature. He's given us the things that we need to grow. We're not going to sprout. He's not going to allow us to sprout and not provide the rest of the stuff that we need. He's going to provide the things that we need to grow. Now listen, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge. See, there's a process here. We have to start somewhere. If you don't ever go buy any seed, or if you buy seed and bring it home and put it in the deep freeze, it's never going to grow. You're never going to have a garden. You're never going to have any fresh produce. But he says here, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens when we plant corn? Did you know if you plant the corn and you let it get up about knee high before the ears come on, and you have some cows, they'd love to eat it right then? Now, I don't like corn right then. I don't like corn leaves to eat. They're scratchy. They don't taste good to me, but cows love them. But I do like the ears. I like the kernels that's on the ears. And if I don't allow it to grow to the point that I can get to that, it's been a waste of time. But he said, notice, now if these things be in you, all these things that you're adding to that initial experience of I know that Jesus loves me. Knowledge, faith, patience, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. When you start adding those things one by one, incrementally, it's a growth process, see? And the end result is, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Now, to me, it's a good feeling to go out there and feel those ears, and you can feel those kernels through the shucks, and you start pulling the ears off of those corn, and there's a special little snap and sound when you snap that ear off and bring it up to the house and pull the shuck and the silk off of it, and you bend, blanch it and cut it off the cob, and then you can put it up in the freezer. You can have, we always have fresh corn that day. That's talking about being fruitful and about being not being barren. Okay, barren means there's not anything. And he says here, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So if you don't have these things, if you don't grow, that means you forgot what you sprouted from. All right? So we have to apply ourselves to spiritual growth. Lord, I know it's out there. I know it's available to me. Help me to put my roots down and get the nutrients, the moisture, the things that I need to produce the fruit that you want me to produce. Notice in 1 Peter, the second chapter, and beginning in verse 1, he says, wherefore, laying aside malice, some more details about how to grow here. He says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. A small children, their desires, the things that they communicate to us about is whether they're uncomfortable or not, and whether they're hungry or not. That's what they communicate to us. They do that by the sounds that they make. They do that by their actions. They do that by their facial expressions. They can't tell us, I'm hungry, I need to be cleaned up. They don't tell me that, but they communicate to us. And he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, that ye may grow. So for us to grow, we have to have a desire and an appetite for growth. We're not going to grow if we're just waiting for something to fling it on us. It's not going to happen. We have to have an appetite for growth as an individual. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord's great, have you seen that the Lord was gracious, that he was good, that he's been merciful to us? I believe we have. So therefore we ought to have an appetite for growth, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and his precious, ye also as lively stones are built up, not just a rock, not just a stone, not just a lively stone, but there is growth here more than just on an individual basis. My burden this morning is that we would have a hungering and appetite for individual spiritual growth. But beyond that, recognizing that he wants to do something with your individual spiritual growth. How, do you know that if you want to raise some sweet corn, you really need to plant two seeds? Did you know that? Because you really need to be able for one to pollinate the other. You really need to have at least two corn stalks. You really need, there are some fruit trees, if you don't have two of them, don't just plant one. You got to have two different trees for them to pollinate one another. Did you know that if you've got a sincere individual and they start availing themselves of the grace of God and adding to their knowledge, their patience and brotherly kindness and all those things that we was reading about there in 2 Peter, you start adding those to individuals and they begin to mature and look like there's going to be some fruit. Without some cross-pollination, so to speak, with others, there's no house. It's just a plant. But listen to what he says. He says, where did I read here? And unto you therefore which believed, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. That's not Fifth verse. Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He wants to build a house out of us collectively. Not just a bunch of good rocks or good building materials. He wants to start putting us together and making a congregation out of us. He wants to make a spiritual house, something where it can be safety to others, and there can be, which would you rather have? A truckload of materials or a completed structure? I don't think I don't take a lot of meditation on my part. I don't need to stop and think about that much. You know, I'd be thankful for somebody to bring a whole truckload of materials to my place for a new everything, to the last wire nut. That'd be wonderful. But it'd be better if right behind the truck that unloaded it was a whole crew of people that came in and put it all together. That'd even be better, wouldn't it? The Lord wants us to be lively stones, healthy. Something that's not lively is probably what? Dying. It's sick. It's not going to be with us very long. He wants us to be lively stones and build up a spiritual house where there can be refuge from the storms of life to the people that's around us. He goes on to say, but ye, in the ninth verse, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. There was a time that we didn't know one another. We weren't a group. We weren't a congregation. But now are ye the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All of us has been on the journey of life. And today, we have been brought together at this place, at this time, and the message I feel like the Lord has given us, He wants us to be individual, lively, healthy, growing, mature. He calls us stones. But He wants to put us together to make a spiritual house. Something that is substantial, something that will weather the storms. My wife wants me to go to the basement when there's a storm. It is more secure. There's no question about that. It's better to be in the basement if a tornado is coming. But I guess until the glass breaks, I'm not too scared upstairs. But He wants us to be stable. He wants us to provide shelter from the storms around us of life. He wants others to want to come in. He wants others to see the lights on. You know, it's something that you drive by my house and the lights are on. You come, if we're home, and sometimes they're on when we're not there, but you go by my house and the house is all lit up, it makes you think, well, maybe somebody's there. Let's pull in and stop. You know, the world needs to see a spiritual house with the lights on. A building without the lights on, it looks gloomy. Like, I don't know, do we go in there or not? You know, you open the door and you hear the wind cause something to creep. Well, I don't know, maybe we'll stay out of there. No, it's not what He wants. He wants us to be a spiritual house made up of lively stones where there is light coming out the windows and there's a welcome mat out on the front porch. And people want to say, that's the place I want to go. Yeah. That's what He wants. But it don't happen without growth. It don't happen with just a bunch of building materials. It don't happen with just a little seedling with a root poking out. He wants us to be mature stalks, lively and healthy, and able to contribute. In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, all of us have probably said this as a memory verse at some time or another in our life. He says, blessed are they, I won't turn there, blessed are ye that are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to grow. We're going to grow if we hunger and thirst. But that's the thing. Do we really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or are we just content to be a sprout? Are we just content to be a seedling? Or do we want to be a real plant? A real mature, lively stone in the house of the Lord? I'd like to turn to Acts, the second chapter. We know what's there. This is where the evidence of the Holy Spirit was manifest in Peter's life, and he preached the message on the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to read some verses here, but before we do, I would just like to say a little something about myself. I've run into those down through time, through my life, that criticize God's people because they didn't feel like they had enough outreach. And they criticized people, congregations. They said that congregations were dying. Wasn't any life there. I've run into people that made negative comments. It's troubled me. Lord, I don't think that's the way it ought to be. I think it ought to be the other way around. I think there ought to be growth. Yes, I know we live in an adverse generation for Christianity, but I still feel like there's some people that's searching for the real thing out there. I believe there's people out there that really want to have fellowship with others that want to be part of this spiritual house. I believe that. And whether I live to be 60 or 100, I'm going to still believe that. That's something that's ingrained in me. I believe that there are individuals out there that's tired of the rubbish that the Satan provides. I believe there's people that wants out of it. I believe there's people that wants to have peace. They want to have the love of God in their hearts. I believe they want to come together with others. I believe that. So I thought about us as congregation, not just here, but everywhere God's people is met together. And I think, Lord, how can you have growth is in a congregation if there's not lively stones? And I'll have to tell you that I feel like one of the burdens the Lord has given me is to try to help us to be more mature as individuals, where we'll be in a place where we can reach out. Where I want to have something to reach out with. I want to be more than someone that just has an emotion. I want to be more than a sprout. I want to be able to hand you an ear of corn. Here, take a bite of this. I want you to be able to get a hold of something that's nourishing and satisfying, makes you hungry for more. And I want us to be able to do that individually. That's been one of my burdens in being a pastor. I'll notice here in Acts 2, beginning in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they'd heard the message that Peter preached. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's where the seed sprouts, see? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. That goes all the way down to us today. And he says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received, there were some that didn't, but they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now that'd be a revival, wouldn't it? Can you imagine what would happen if we had 3,000 souls get saved in a revival in Webb City? It'd make an impact, folks. What are you going to do with 3,000 seedlings? You know, if you go out, Drew planted 14 rows or 13 rows of sweet corn. And they're all going to come up about the same time. And when they start coming up, what are you going to do with them? If you don't get out there and keep the grass and the weeds out of it and keep some nutrients to them, you're not going to have a crop. That's what's going to happen. I know for a fact that there's also Johnson grass seed out there in my ground because it was growing last year. And it got up and went to seed last year. And that's even worse. And I know if we don't watch it, we're going to have Johnson grass in our corn this year. And you know, if you got 3,000 souls that get saved all at once, if you don't have a lively spiritual house to help them, they're going to self-destruct. They're not going to reach maturity. But the objective of the church is that the seedlings would grow. And how can they grow if we're not able to take care of them? And he says here, 3,000 got saved and they continued steadfastly. This is important to me. And they, who was they? I believe the 3,000. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Did you know that the lively stones that make up the spiritual house greatly impact the ability of the power of God to be manifested in the midst of a congregation? It does. He says here, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Not the 3,000. They're the ones that's on the outside looking, the ones that's seeing the light in the windows, the ones that's observing the building and how structured, how safe and secure it is. Not the physical building, the spiritual house, you see. It says, and all that believed come together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Did you know that if you have a nucleus of sprouts and they're able to be nourished and they continue in their process of growing, that it's going to have an impact on those on the outside looking in and seeing how bright the lights are? And there's going to be others that say, this is kind of like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And somebody can tell me that I'm crazy if they want to, but I believe it can happen in our day. But if we as individuals do not desire growth and maturity in our, if we're satisfied to be a green tomato, and we don't ever want to be a ripe tomato, if we're not willing to put our shoulder to it, it's going to hinder this. That's what's going to happen. But the Lord wants us to all have a hungering and thirsting after. He says He'll fill us. And as we grow, the lights get brighter and brighter. You know, if you come in the house in the dark, in my house, and you start flashing the light around, there's a good chance you won't wake me up. Unless you come in and shine the light in my eyes, then it's liable to get me woke up. Might not then. But you turn the light on in my bedroom in the middle of the night, and after a few minutes, I'm going to wake up. And I'm going to wonder what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, the brighter the light is on the inside of the building, the more it comes out around out the windows and around the cracks in the doors. And somebody's going to say, I don't know what's going on over there, but we better go check it out. And then when they come and check it out, then there's going to be those that's added to the church, such as should be saved. I want to end with a verse in Revelations. Revelations chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That means if you want to hear. That means if you have a willingness to understand and comprehend. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, the witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The message is to those that would hear. It always has been that way. It's not a message of coercion. It's a message of whosoever will. The Lord is there to provide whatever we... All things are provided for us, for life and godliness. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants His people, the congregations of His people, to exhibit a light to the world around us, to exhibit stability, to exhibit peace and safety and security to the troubled world that's around us. He wants us as individuals to grow. He wants us to be in a place where we can be part of that spiritual house built up. Be part of the holy priesthood in a spiritual house. He wants us to be able to portray to the world something that they want. They go to lots of different things to try to find what they want, and they're not finding it, folks. They're getting more and more in bondage out there. But the reality is that Christianity is really the answer. If you have a real relationship with the Lord, you can start out as a little sprout and you can end up producing the real fruit of righteousness. You pray for me. I want to be that.